Tonight's message is possibly an odd topic, but for whatever reason, God laid it on my heart to talk about. Human nature, first of all, human nature. And we're going to use multiple scriptures, but I thought the main one would be 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. A lot of times we think of temptation as a bad word. I don't like temptations, but it teaches us things. So sometimes we use it in the wrong sense. Now, before I get too far, I want to clarify in the King James language, especially in the book of James, the word temptation is, you have to understand, first of all, the different ways it is used. The modern translations would clarify for you. But temptations can mean trials. So you may be going through a trial. That also is a temptation. But then I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about things that are enticements, things that entice you, that cause you to desire to sin. And I want to say on the outset here that the devil cannot force a Christian to sin. If that was the case, if the devil had more power than the Holy Spirit that resides in you, then what Jesus said would be wrong. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the Holy Spirit that is in you is greater than the devil that's out here who's trying to trip you up. So let's keep that in mind, folks. Let's keep that in mind. So temptation has come to mean something bad all the time. It's something bad. Well, it not necessarily is. But we use it in the wrong way. So temptation by itself is not a sin. Jesus was tempted. And not only that, but he was tempted in all points as we. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But I'm going to read chapter 10, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Now, this is one of the scriptures that scholars go back and forth on whether or not the word temptation used in the King James is the kind that you're going through a trial or the kind that you're being enticed. And I think the majority believe the word means to be enticed. So it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation, which is an enticement, taken you, but such as is common to man. Understand that. That's the first lesson we need to know. Temptations are common to the human being. And a lot of times when we are tempted, you know, we have some kind of desire that to sin somehow. I chuckled at Evelyn's story this morning when she was picking up dollar bills or some money, whatever money was falling out of your pocket, Brother Tom, when you were shouting in the spirit, she was picking up some money. Well, what if, and I know you wouldn't do this, but what if Sister Evelyn was tempted to just keep that money because you wouldn't know what happened to it? You were out in the spirit and you wouldn't know what happened to it. Well, see, that's not something that the devil did. That's something that's in your inner nature, okay? I'm just using you as an example. I know you wouldn't do such a thing. So, folks, we have something within us. It's called a sin nature. Where did we get that from? From Adam. From Adam. Once Adam fell, the curse of Adam has now flowed, and you could almost say inherited, down through all of humanity. All of humanity. We all have that ability to sin. Now, a lot of us have different amounts of ability to sin. Some people could sin a great sin, commit murder, and it wouldn't bother them, you know? But others would know that's absolutely wrong. I think even Eddie brought an example up this morning. Some, Wasn't it somebody who chopped the head off of a girlfriend? My goodness, what kind of relationship is that? To where you whack somebody's head off over that. Well, anyway, there's all kinds of things. I don't know how the mindset works when that happens. But I can tell you that it was the person's ability to sin, and for whatever reason, the devil has either put a situation in place. How it happens, I don't understand it, and I can't explain it, but the devil can put a situation in place and cause you to sin. Let me give you an example. Last week, I think it was last week, or was it Wednesday? Deronda, help me out. Well, I think it was Wednesday. I gave a testimony of sorts, and I said, I used to have road rage very bad, and to the point that I actually chased somebody down the road for a long, long ways. And just like a dog chasing a car, what are you going to do with it when you catch up to them? You know, it's like, Earl, what are you doing? I finally came to my senses. And boy, I prayed over that. I prayed about that. I asked for forgiveness. And I thought, you know, I'm not like that anymore. Okay? We travel home Wednesday. And Deronda is driving, and she's following somebody. Not too close. Otherwise, I'd be getting in the mix then. But she's not following too close. But apparently the driver in front of us thought she was. He wasn't passing, he was just driving slow on the left side as we were on 460. Well, and then out comes the hand and out comes the middle finger. And we both look at each other and we're like, what in the world is this? Now, my first reaction would have been to get all upset, beat my horn, wave my fist, or do something. But you know what? I sat back and calm, and we both looked at each other, and we said, you know what this is, don't you? I said, or one of us, we were kind of like, well, what? What do you think? I said, it's because we gave a testimony. We gave a testimony about road rage and not having it anymore, and sure enough, we were tested right then. Temptation, it can be a good thing. Why? Because it tests you to find out where your weak spots are. Okay? Not everybody has the same weak spots. But the fact is, don't think that you are going through some temptation that nobody else in here has ever gone through. Okay? Speaking to the men here tonight. When I was growing up, I was determined when I got my license, I was going to go out on dates and I was going to do, you know, be somebody, at least I thought. But the thing was, when I'd ask for girls to go out on a date with me, I'd get turned down. Oh man, that used to break my heart. And I'd ask somebody else, I'd get turned down. And then, of course, I met Deronda in high school. And every time I'd ask her out, which I didn't know, Glenn, she had to have your permission first. But I didn't know that. I kept asking her out, and all she kept telling me, well, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. Not knowing the whole time she was going to have to ask Mom and Dad, especially Dad. And the thing was, my first date with Deronda was at homecoming down here. It was at homecoming, and dummy me, I wore a t-shirt. I remember wearing a t-shirt. I wish I'd dressed up better. I didn't know. I had been out of the church for a while. It was because of her I got back in church, and because of her, I'm up here today. Thank God. He's given me a purpose. He's given me a mission. But my point being, I had all these grandiose ideas that just didn't come to fruition the way I had planned it. God had a different plan for me. So temptations can show you where your weak spots are. Okay? That's one of the, if you want to call it, the good side. That's one of the good sides of temptations. Because it's a person's inner nature, or at least what he possesses as an inner nature. It's that spiritual part of his being that's being tested. Okay? And think of it as almost as spiritual maturity. Okay? That's being tested. And so that temptation is going to fit whatever his spiritual level is. Now, some of us are brand new Christians. Maybe not in here, but I mean within the church. Some of us are brand new Christians, and the devil might could easily trip up this person over here, but it might not affect any one of you, that same temptation. So we know that this person may have a certain weakness. Now, what should the church's response to be if a brother were to sin? One word, reconciliation, okay? Reconcile that brother back into the church. If you find a brother at fault, there's a whole, I won't go through it all, but there's a whole method, okay? If I see somebody and they commit some kind of sin that we know that is a sin, I should go, if I know about it, I should go and talk to that brother. And if he quits, great. But if he doesn't, I get somebody else, like maybe another elder or somebody else, and go talk to that brother. And if he quits, great. But if he still doesn't quit, then you have to bring it before the church. And then it's up to the church to decide what to do. And oftentimes it's, depending on how bad the sin is, you put them out. Okay? We don't want to put anybody out. We don't want to put anybody out. But you just can't allow, especially if they're part of the ministry. If they're just part of the congregant, it's a little different. Okay? Let the Word and the Spirit touch their heart and save their soul. You can be involved in that. But if they're part of the ministry, say the choir or the musicians or even preaching for that matter, and get caught in a sin, put me out. Deny me communion like they did some of the other leaders. You know what I'm talking about? I hope you're hearing me when I'm talking about types of temptations. It reveals your weaknesses. And over time, these temptations change. So what might have tempted me when I was 18 years old might not be the same thing as when I'm 50 years old. I'm actually getting close to 60. So the types of temptations change. As my maturity level increases, hopefully you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as Peter says. Hopefully you're growing. Then your level of maturity is increasing to where certain temptations don't bother you anymore. Some people have such difficulty getting off of alcohol. We call them alcoholics. Some people have addictions to other illegal drugs and substances. But dare I say, some people have addictions to legal drugs and substances. You know, temptation will show you your weakness. And in fact, it's something you can't escape. You can't escape it. If you're part of the human race, and you are, you can't escape it. So it's essential in your life, believe it or not, it's essential in your life to really see where you stand with God. Okay. I hope that makes sense. The fact also is that God does not save us. Let me say it clearly. God does not save us from temptations. What does he save us from? Sins. Okay, we have to understand that. We, just like he, will always be tempted or enticed. Okay, tempted or enticed. But God doesn't prevent that. Now, he may help you, and that's what we're going to actually read. So, well, first of all, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Who tempts us? You might immediately say, well, it's the devil who tempts us. Yeah, I would agree with you. But there's something else. Let's read from James chapter 1, verse 13. Now, this is very important. Let no man say when he is tempted. This is the kind of word tempted, meaning enticed, that I am tempted of God. In other words, God's the one who's doing this. God, why did you put such and such situation in front of me that now I have to fight and wrestle over? No, God didn't do it. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And because he can't be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. So where do the temptations come from? Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of the devil's enticement. That's what it says, right? No. Of his own lust, desires, cravings, wants. However you want to read that word, don't always think lust means sexual. So when a man is drawn away, just to give you an example, I'll use my own self. I won't pick on anybody else here. I'll use my own self. Somebody buys a pack of cookies, and it's sitting on the bar or table or whatnot, and I walk in, having no idea that those cookies are there, suddenly I'm tempted. Well, you might say, well, one cookie won't hurt. That's usually my justification. One won't hurt. But somehow when I go to reach for that one, my fingers have this way of doing that. I get about that many cookies. All right. So whose fault was that? It was me. Now, I can't even argue and say that the devil calls Aaron or Dorando or somebody to put those cookies there so that I would see them later. They could have put them up in the cat. Oftentimes, by the way, that's the best way for me to fight temptation is to ask them that if you buy sweets, put them in the cabinet. If I don't see it, it's out of sight, out of mind. But if I see it, suddenly I want one that turns into maybe eight, five, whatever, and a glass of milk to go with it. You can't eat a cookie by itself. You can, but who wants to do that? And it might lead to second helpings. You see? So it's like a no-win situation, right? So my cravings, my own cravings, and I'm enticed by that. And there are other kinds of temptations that people fall into, but that's one that gets me. And if you're curious as to why that matters, I'm a type 2 diabetic. Okay, I shouldn't be eating. Like I said, the one cookie probably would not have hurt. But it's that many that is not good for me. My blood sugar just shoots up. Oh, well, so that's the who. It's usually my own fault. And like I said, some people can look at the cookies and walk right by them and not care a whit in the world, you know, and don't bother them at all. But sure as the world, you put a can of beer or whatever on a table, they can't walk past that. Why? Because they're addicted to it. I grew up in a house where there was alcohol addiction. And trust me, it was not a good thing. But I grew up with that. I grew up with cigarettes was an addiction where, I don't want to divulge too much, but where marijuana was an addiction. And folks, if I could just tell you all the times that people tried to get me to join them in with them to get drunk, the number's sky high. Or the number of times that people have tried to get me to join in with them to take a toke off of a joint, okay? I can speak the language, I just haven't done it. Just haven't done it. Anyway, the number of times that I was tempted, it didn't bother me. It didn't faze me. Here's why. I saw the effects of alcohol. I grew up with it. And then as time went along, I saw the effects of marijuana. And I promised myself, you know, I have to thank God for this because I don't think many teenagers have this kind, and I'm sorry, I'm humble bragging here, but have this kind of maturity. I did not want to let loose what was in here. Okay? The thing about alcohol in my family, everything was fine until the person got drunk. And then he was mean. He would fight anybody or anything that upset him, including his family. Fortunately for us boys, we were spared. My mom and the girls took the brunt of it. But I saw my uncle get knocked clear across the living room floor as a child. That was a sight to see. They were playing poker at a table, okay? And they were throwing in nickels and dimes, okay? They were playing poker. And, of course, putting back the liquor. Well, I was 6 years old. Had no clue what was going on. I sat on my dad's lap, and he let me put the money in. That's good instructions, right? Anyway, so I'm putting the money in, as he tells me. Well, the next thing I know, he picks me up, sets me to the side, reaches across the table, grabs my uncle, who's just as barely can walk as he can, and he dragged him around the table, and the next thing I knew is whap. And when he socked him, I saw him fall on his back and slide all the way across the living room floor. That was a pretty good hard hit. And I had no clue, no idea what was going on. But it alcohol caused him to be mean. So the reason that temptation didn't bother me when people tried to get me to drink is because I was so afraid. I know Eddie talked about here, said fear God. I was fearing myself. I didn't know how I would react if I got drunk. And God help me if I were to ever have gotten drunk and hit on my kids or hit on Deronda or anything. Y'all probably would have killed me if that would have happened. But the thing is, or she probably would have hit me with a frying pan or something into next week. And the thing is, I was so afraid that either of those two things, so even legal substances like, what is it? I don't even know them all. Oxycontin, fentanyl. My goodness, fentanyl is the big thing here now. And just a little bit can kill you. But I did not want to release my mind to these substances. That's giving a foothold for the devil. And he could have turned me into something I did not want to be. So, okay, I'm tempted. So where do I go for help? And naturally we say Jesus. Well, why? Well, how about we read, what is it? Chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Look at this. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Let's pause there for a second. It behooved Christ to be made like us. In other words, there was a strategy behind that. Christ became God made flesh, okay? Jesus Christ was God made flesh. So it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, or the Jews, the Jewish people. Why? That he might be, look at those two words, a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Remember, I was just talking about that. Reconciliation is the goal. Jesus is reconciling us to the Father, and we reconcile a sinner, hopefully, if we can, back to fellowship with the church. But Jesus became like one of us so that he could be merciful and faithful. Why? What difference does that make? Let's look at verse 18. For in that he himself, talking about Jesus, he has suffered being tempted, and he is able to succor, which means to help or to aid. He's able to help those or them that are tempted. So when I'm tempted, and when you're tempted, regardless of what that temptation is, whether it's a cookie here, a beer here, or a cigarette there, and whatever that temptation is, Jesus can help you, but you have to call on him. You have to call on him. No, you might not have the strength or the will to do it on your own. Possible, but not likely. It's the Holy Spirit inside you that will convict you, first of all, of sin. If it is sin, he will convict you of that sin, and he will tell you, no, Earl, that's wrong. Don't do it. Now, I may fail and do it anyway. That's possible. But the Spirit is there to tell me, to warn me, to guide me into all truth, so that I won't fail, so that he can help me, because I'm only human. We use that as a poor excuse. I'm only human. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Well, I'm weak and I'm frail. I'm sorry, but if you got Jesus Christ living in you, the Holy Spirit in you, no, your body may be weak and frail, but you've got something so great inside you that nothing outside you can force you into anything you don't want to do. Amen? Amen? Amen. So that's why I'm harping on this so much. Because the Lord himself suffered these temptations. So he's able to help and to aid them that are tempted. And folks, that's me almost every day. Sometimes I'm tempted to spout off with my mouth over something I'm not pleased with, whether it be at home or at work, mostly at work. Does anybody in here have OCD? I do. I do. One of my biggest pet peeves. We buy a lot of drinking water. Okay. The kids, and dare I say some adults in our household, will get out a water bottle, open it up, And they're the big kind. They're not these little bottles you often see. They're the big kind, 16 ounce or however many ounces. Take two drinks out of it, set it on the table. That's it. They leave it. And that's not even the worst part. You might think a worst part. What can that be a worst part? They do something with the lid. Okay, they do something with it. I can't even put a lid on it to put it back in the refrigerator. Or, and a lot of times this is what happens, is I pour it out into the doggy water bowl, and then we have to recycle in Christiansburg, and then I crush it up, and I put the lid on it, and I throw it away. Well, if you got no lid, how are you going to do it? You can crush it up, well, it just expands. Well, that's, makes me want to spout off. And I'm tempted to spout off, and I don't want to be that way. So I say, Lord, please, please, once again, help me to keep my mouth shut. Help me to keep my mouth shut. So let's wrap up with this scripture here. Hebrews 4 and 14. So because Jesus was made as one of us, and he became the high priest because of his act of dying on the cross for our sins and raising from the dead, he's now in heaven making intercession for us. Because he's now our high priest, the writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, he specifies his name, I love it, let us hold fast to our profession. Our profession is that we believe. We profess to be Christ followers. We profess to follow Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast to that. Let's not be wishy-washy, okay? Let us be Christians. Sometimes I don't like to use the word Christians, and please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but so many people in the United States claim to be Christian. Did you know 80% of the people in the United States claim to be Christian? Do you believe it? I don't. I don't believe 80% of people in the United States are Christian. But ask them if they follow Christ, you'll get a whole new percentage. Okay? A Christ follower is different than people who just simply say, I'm a Christian. Anyway, let me get off that hobby horse. So here he's talking about that we have a great high priest who's already passed into the heavens, and he names him Jesus, the Son of God. So he says, let us hold fast to our profession. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he knows what you're going through. He knows what you're struggling with. Okay, remember I said temptations are different for each and every person in here. And they're different at different times of my life. When I was young, I was tempted by other things. When I got older, I get tempted by cookies and things like that. There was a bag of caramel floating around here somewhere that I was keeping my eyes on for a while. Hey, I think I found it. So, it's like, it's in my mind, and I knew it was here, and I'm like, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Oh, yeah, right there it is. I'm okay. Heart rate's going down now. I haven't lost my caramel. You see, our temptations are different. And so now it's not like we can't call on Jesus Christ because he has no clue what I'm going through. My goodness, his assignment was simply to live a perfect life and save the entire world. How can he not know what I'm going through? So it uses the negative, but I'm going to say it in the positive. We have a high priest who can be touched with our feeling of infirmities. He understands what I'm going through, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, we only know of three major temptations out in the wilderness. We only know of the three. But that wasn't all he went through. He was tempted in everything. And that includes girls, wine, I don't care what it was. He was tempted, like as we are, but all points. In other words, there was nothing that he didn't have to resist, that he wasn't tempted with, that he had to resist. You know, I mean, there was all points that he was tempted, just like we are. He knows what we're going through. Last verse, and we'll close on this one. So, when I need help, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Why? Because he is a merciful high priest, because he was made like we are. He has been tempted like we are in every way we can think of, and he did not sin. And because of that, he knows that if I fail, and we all gonna fail, folks, once in a while, at least. But when I fail, I got a place to go. I can go to the throne of grace. And I have to many times. And I say, Lord, because sometimes, folks, there's just certain things that it's hard. Oh, I wish I could explain better. But there's some things that are just hard to get rid of. Maybe something about my personality. I'm not going to give a specific, but something about my personality or something about the way I live. It's just hard. And I have to call on him because I know I can obtain mercy and find grace to help. I can insert the word my in my time of need, which is a lot, which is a lot. Heavenly Father, I have spoken the words that I believe you have given to me. Lord, I pray you take this message, Lord, and that you will impress it upon our hearts. Help us in our temptations. Help us to be overcomers. Lord, we don't want to be stuck. We don't want to be stuck in our temptations of reaching for that cookie or whatever it is. We don't want to be stuck doing that forever. We want free of that. And we believe you're the only one who can set us free. So we ask in Jesus' name, amen.